The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Heritage Month in South Africa is always a time to reflect on and honor our nation's diverse culture and rich heritage. South African award-winning jazz bassist Herbie Tswaidi and the Center for Black Thought and African Studies did just that through a conversation and live jazz performances, which were held in September on Black Theology and African Time Music. Joining us now on the line, Herbie Tswaidi, Siyabulela Tonono, and Dr. Lerato Kobe, as we look back on this event, its significance to Heritage Month, and some of the lessons learned from this experience. Welcome, everybody. Yeah, I want to begin with you, Brahebi. You know, maybe let's start by unpacking the philosophy African Time, you know, a concept that you've consistently woven into your music as a tool, you know, for storytelling.
Indeed, African Time is a tool for storytelling. You know, it seeks to trace traces of our forebears, our forefathers. How things were done before colonization, you know. So yes, it's really tracking on those traces here of trying to reflect on the music I heard while I was still a kid, a child, you know, what I was hearing at the time, because there used to be a lot of stuff happening in our homes, neighborhoods as well, you know, in terms of sound and rituals and traditions, cultures, different cultures. I grew up into that mix of different human beings, people in our located spaces. Yeah, so African Time really is reflecting on those events and journeys.
Yeah. And I also want, I think, in the same conversation, maybe about heritage, why has it been so important, you know, to impart or maybe even teach, you know, about this heritage throughout the years?
Well, we have, you know, heritage in vaults, you know, in our fortresses, of African fortresses. I call it fortress because it's where these things are stashed, you know. And we're getting them from those who were there before us. Yeah. And heritage for me is every day. It's not one day. Heritage goes a long way because in my case, when I compose music, I think of the teachings of my grandfather, grandmother, mother, and uncles, and everybody, you know, in the household. And also the chores, you know, of a girl child, old child, something like that, you know, and also some discipline. And of course, in my case, my grandmother would hit me for not going to church, you know. And there was even a picture of that in the corridor of my home. When I come from church, I can just see that Jesus cross in the, you know, on the wall, grandmother's face, you know, where I grew up.
Yeah, yeah.
As my mother was a domestic worker as well, so she was never there, you know. She had to go fend for other people's families. And so these things, they are stashed in my subconscious, whether I'm doing music, whether I'm reading. You know, whenever you do things, I also feel that it's one discretion to believe in whatever, because we've got so many spiritual vibrations going on in our systems, you know. So, yeah, African time is like that, not about lateness as well.
Yeah.
Just to try to arrive at my destination safely.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, of course. And I also want to bring in Mr. Siyabulela Tonono. Of course, he is the coordinator of the Center for Black Thought and African Studies at the Seth Mukitimi Methodist Seminary. And the conversation here, Brother Sia, is about Black theology and jazz music. Please help us make this connection.
Simply put, jazz music is as ancient as time to African people. And I think Obrahebi mentioned the idea that our experiences, our heroes' histories, our cultures are stored in those vaults And those vaults happen to take musical form. And part of that musical form is jazz music. So if we look at the traditional understandings of the origins of jazz music, it has its roots in African people, enslaved African people, who on their journey across the Atlantic.
I think we lost Sia there. We'll wait for him to come back. I think maybe let's also then bring in Dr. Lerato, who's a lecturer in the Department of Christian Spirituality, Church History and Missiology at UNISA's College of Human Sciences. And she was part of the conversation of Black theology, in fact, of theology and Black consciousness at this gathering. And Doctor, I want us to go back to that day, you know, and that conversation and some of the points, you know, key points that were highlighted.
Well, thank you so much for this time to reflect. I come into the conversation, of course, as a Black theologian, and we come into the conversation because of also the kind of similarities of within jazz and Black theology, and how we read into that history and that culture. So, for example, I said one of the things that I said to Brahebi when he was performing there, and for me, I said, of course, I can pick up so many things within Black theology, but connecting even not just Christianity, but also African spirituality. Just the fact that Brahebi decided I'm going to play this thing like the way he plays it, how he sings also. I remember in his performance, I thought about the grandmothers, you know, and the grandfathers in the villages where people sing, they just start a song and the whole thing just becomes something without even having communication how this must be. So, and I thought of that also in our reflection of Black theology in South Africa. I mean, because there is also the discussion within scholars about the beginnings of Black theology, even jazz. And I think my friend, the director of the Center for African Thought, has talked about it. What are the real origins of jazz, even of Black theology? Because Black people in South Africa, in their encounter with coloniality, where our ancestors had to be forced to be Christians, and they had to make sense of this religion, and they had to use their own culture to make sense of it. Also, with jazz, when we look at jazz, we see the similarities with African music. I mean, one of the famous songs that people say that it's written by this white guy, Amazing Grace. But when we do the history of that song, we find out this guy was a slave, a ship owner. He shipped slaves, and he had the slaves doing a sorrow chant from West East Africa. And then he placed his music into that. But we don't have that history. But the connection then, when you come and sing this song and Africans listen to it, they're like, but this is on the African scale. You know, so I mean, it's the same thing with Black theology. So then we found our moments there, especially when Black jazz music became a space for Black people within the church to express themselves, to express their suffering, their joys and everything. So that's how we come in within the conversation as Black theologians.
And I want you to hold that thought for a second, and I want to welcome back Siabule Ratonono from a bit of a break there. I think he broke in transmission, and I want to go back to the point that he was making, and I think that he was connecting, you know, Black theology and jazz music.
No, I'm saying jazz has its roots on the African continent. It is a melody that has resonated with enslaved people across the Atlantic, found its way into the Americas. It not only did it find its way into the Americas, it managed to survive in the form of Negro spirituals and evolved into what we now call jazz music. But this melody has lingered on from the African continent. It has its roots in the African continent. It's found its expression through the lived experiences of enslaved people. And what colonialism has done is that the same melody that has been resonating across the Atlantic found resonance within the continent as well. And so jazz becomes the circling back of an African melody across Atlantic, via North America, back into the Southern African context. And all that is the message that has been reverberating has always been about the liberation of Black people. It has always been about expressing the joys, the hardships, and the experiences of Black people. So all of these conversations, in a similar way, one can make the same argument of Black theology, in the sense that African people have needed a sense of where their gods are, who their gods are in the midst of colonialism, and have had to think through that. And so Black theology has been the way in which we have thought and made sense about the realities and the existence of God in the midst of our lived realities, in the midst of the colonial oppression, in the midst of apartheid, in the midst of slavery. We still had to grapple with, where is our God in the midst of all of this oppression? And so part of the conversation was really aimed at teasing the ways in which of the oppression of Black people has manifested itself over the years, and how throughout the existence of that oppression, there has been a voice that has been calling for the liberation of Black people, and using melodies of jazz music has been part of that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Doctor, you know, I think maybe let's look at it this way. You know, the understanding of Christian beliefs is already so complicated, you know, at a time where belief systems have taken various directions over the years, particularly, you know, in our country. Why was it so important, maybe, you know, to understand the role that they've played? I suppose Christianity has played in the evolution of the Black experience in post-colonial South Africa today.
I think for us as Black theologians, is not more about we understand that Christianity has become the way that our people have made sense of their suffering, but it has always been a very problematic and toxic way in which people have used Christianity to make sense of their suffering and their oppression. Like we live in a country where people go to church and if the priest says they must eat grass, they will eat grass. So our beginnings is the problematics of how this religion has become this thing that our people, that takes away their thinking. So therefore, Black theology becomes this discourse then that locates, like Brahebi said now about African time, locates people within their context, within their experiences and suffering. And then they read into the story of Jesus from their own perspective as suffering people in the world. And therefore they make connection with the suffering Jesus was born under an empire, Roman Empire. And also, therefore, Black theology comes into existence into that, to read the story of Jesus as a liberation story. And I mean, in South Africa, Black theology, people like Desmond Tutu, and that's the funny thing, people don't know that Desmond Tutu was a Black theologian. He was such a radical priest who was friends, actually, with people like Robert Sobukwe. And he had conversation on this notion of this Western Christian God. And he's one of the people who actually argued that we also need to look into African traditional religions, how they can help us to liberate ourselves under the yoke of apartheid at that time and just coloniality in its totality. So Black theology is that theology that tries to make sense. Its starting point for doing theology is Blackness.
Thank you.
course, Kofifi FM, we're reflecting with Dr. Kobe and, of course, Siyabulela Tonono and Brahere Bitswaedi. It's all about the African Time Music and Black Theology event that they held in commemoration of Heritage Month in 2024. I want to bring the microphone back to you, Siyabulela, and also talk about, you know, the Steve Biko philosophies on this consciousness now and some of his ideas, which, you know, I suppose were embedded in the South African story. And what did the show highlight, you know, about his contribution?
I think one of the things that we often, I don't want to say neglect or kind of glance over, is the fact that first and foremost, Steve Biko is a Christian student, is a member of the Christian student movement. He emerges into a sort of national prominence, particularly from a base of the student Christian movement. And so part of his activism is located within the church. Now, if you read Biko's book, I Write What I Like, there's a chapter written there. I think it was first presented in at the Eden Day Lay Ecumenical Center. The chapter is titled "The Church Through the Eyes of a Layman," and Biko is reflecting on what church could and should be in light of the Black experience of the 1970s, right? And so when we think about Biko, firstly, we must locate him within the student Christian movement and understand that the emergence of South African students' organizations and to a later extent, the Black consciousness movement as a whole, it mainly moved through ecclesiastical circles or church spaces. And so our conversation was really looking at the links between Black consciousness, this ideology that is meant to rehumanize the black who has been damned for over 300 years. That movement was primarily a movement that emerged within the church. Granted, it's not a movement that was sanctioned by the official church, but it was Black people using the platforms and networks created by the experiences and by the ecclesiastical spaces such as churches to galvanize and build and organize themselves in that way. So our conversation was really reflective of the ways in which church as a space is a very important space to contest within or for the liberation of Black people. Like Ulerato was saying, the church is too big a space for Black people to relinquish to whiteness. Every Sunday, you go into any located space, as Ubrahebi calls them, any located space on any Sunday, you will find every Sunday morning, Black people are going to church. Different variations of church. Some churches have buildings, others do not. Others have uniforms, others do not. And so you see this. Now, when you're saying that space is a space that is not contested and you leave it as a political vacuum, effectively that is space in which white theology can further grow its tentacles and continue shackling the minds of Black people.
Wow. And I think this is a topic for the next conversation, maybe in the next series of this theology and African time music. But speaking of that, Sia, let's talk about the future of this show and what other conversations should we look forward to, you know, as we walk towards the next Heritage Month?
I think part of the future conversation really need to grapple with the ever-changing socio-political context, the ever-changing nature of racialized capitalism, and how do Black people respond to this ever-shape-shifting phenomenon? I mean, how the ways in which race and gender and class have been wrapped up in the 1970s has markedly changed in how they manifest themselves in the 21st century. And so part of the future conversations need to be looking at this elephant in the room of racialized capitalism which no longer needs a whiteness of skin pigmentation. We see a lot of people with a lot of melanin whose political and socioeconomic sort of stances distance themselves from blackness. And so how do we make sense of a majority black government being the oppressive force in a 2024 context that is fundamentally racialized and capitalized and still plays into the fundamental structures of racialized capitalism? So part of the conversation going forward needs to be, how do we unmask the ways in which whiteness and racialized capitalism morph themselves into our daily lives, and how then do we galvanize around that understanding?
Important black conversations here this Sunday on the KJazz Show. Of course, we are not getting political, but we are unpacking and reflecting, you know, on the wonderful fusion of black theology, jazz music, and of course, African time, which is not about lateness, but, you know, Brahebi has already said that. And speaking of, you know, Brahebs, as we wrap things up this Sunday, we look forward to, you know, your maybe words of wisdom, you know, so that they can carry us to the next conversation. Perhaps, what would you like to leave us with?
Well, firstly, I would like to let people know that African Time Music is a musical party, a church of freedom, love, and joy. As you say, we're not becoming political, but we're just unpacking what's within ourselves and how one views and thinks. You know, each and everything, whether you're watching a movie or reading a book, it has to be on in your own discretion how you know what you've grasped in that book. So let's be ourselves, let's connect with nature. You know, even our local spaces doesn't have nature where we are able to think. You know, even now, it's always dusty. I guess I remember sitting under the trees and stuff like that, because that's the way our grandmother, fathers were gathered. Because all this information is from the backyard. Take note of the backyard background of the elders, of what they've been teaching you, you know, or in all our cultures, traditions, and so on, values, principles. You know, that's what my mother, grandmother taught me. So those things are still embedded in my subconscious. Hence the music that, it's not my music. It transcends from those majors up there, superpowers. I never have music, but I heard the music. And also, as I was growing next to the hostel, my grandmother's house was very adjacent to the hostel. So I used to go there as a child. And those people who were in the hostels were migrant workers from different parts of the country. So all those cultures are coming back, you know, to me. And I'm using that in the sense of music, you know. All those sounds, all those great teachings of... Because remember, it's not only at home that you get all these teachings and blessings. It's in the surroundings of where you are located at, you know, now called townships, but it's located space. So let's be ourselves. Let's try and reflect who are we and who are we and which way are we going.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Absolutely. And well, thank you, of course, to the three of you for reflecting with us this Sunday. And we look forward to engaging with you again in the next African Time Music in Conversation with Black Theology and all of those wonderful and exciting conversations still to come. Of course, that is a jazz bassist and elder, Herbie Tswaedi, Siyabulela Tonono, coordinator of the Center for Black Thought and African Studies, and Dr. Lerato Kobe, who is a lecturer in the Department of Christian Spirituality, Church History and Missiology at UNISA's College of Human Sciences. And all three of them were on the KJAZZ Show.